Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hey everybody, on this episode of the GH Report, Sonny takes a punch, Lulu's in trouble, and Lucy writes a book. We're going to break all that down and more next.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey everybody, welcome back.
Hey, everybody.
The GH Report. We are so excited to be back for you here on this Sunday night, breaking down all the latest happenings in Port Charles. I'm Frank Moran.
I'm Carla Renata.
And as always, folks, like us on Facebook, give us 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and everybody, we're going to have the chat up and running. Carla's got it going. We know you're in there already sharing some thoughts. Carla, you have some shout-outs?
And I was like, the thoughts that they were sharing, I was like, y'all are not right, and they just laughed at me. Because they got shenanigans in the chat room, as always.
So, now, before we took last week off, we had various things going on, so we thank you for your patience there. I know that there's very few GH podcasts around, but we do appreciate you sticking around for us, and when we do have things happen.
We do, and we love y'all for tuning in and being patient and hanging in there with us. We really do. Don't be mad at us. You know, don't get your jaws all clenched up tight.
No, that's true. We love doing this, and when professional opportunities come our way, sometimes that takes us away from being able to do the show every single week.
Absolutely.
But that doesn't mean we don't miss you and that we don't love you and that we're not excited to get back and talk some more GH.
Absolutely. Very well said, Frank.
There you go.
Go ahead with your bad self.
All right. I'm going to get going, guys. Bye-bye, everybody. So we're going to break down the latest weeks. We'll also have some news and gossip at the end of the show as well. But before we dive into the week specifically, Carla, what have you been thinking about General Hospital in the general terms lately?
You know, I just got to say that Ryan is getting a little sloppy.
Yep.
He's getting a little sloppy with his stuff. He's just going after the obvious. And I cannot wait until Ava figures out, because I think Ava might be the person that figures out it's him first. I think she might be the one to figure out first. Maybe not. But I'm thinking it's her. But I'm kind of loving how they just making him sloppy. Like, at first he was all cool and cunning, and now he's just sloppy with his stuff. I like that they finally got some kind of resolution to Oscar.
Yes.
In his situation. And so he's not whining and crying anymore. I kind of love that. And it's looking a little bit more realistic. But I have to say, and we said this before we went on the air, honey, that slot machine opening, I'm like, why does it look like a slot machine? And why was Anna having temporary blindness? Like, I cannot with that.
All right. So I am curious. General Hospital has changed their opening, you know, a lot of times. And many soaps, so they will freshen it all up throughout the years. So this is the latest General Hospital refresh, where we just see the familiar J, G, and H, and then we just see a
slot
Rolodex.
Machine. Yeah, it is a slot machine.
Rapid
I'm like,
fire.
I'm gonna need y'all to like at least show the faces where we can see them, especially the black faces, because it's just like a blur. It's like, oh, it's like, oh, oh, was that black person? Oh, oh, oh. I'm like, come on now.
There are a couple times where I go like, wait, did they show that person or not? And then I'll have to rewind it just to be like, oh, nope, they didn't show that person. I just thought I imagined it. Okay. All right. But compared to the one we just had, where it was just like the very kind of like taking snapshots inside the letters and then they kind of expanded out to say General Hospital, which one do you prefer more?
I like the way it was. I didn't have a problem with it the way that it was. I like seeing the pictures of the actors.
Mm-hmm.
I like, you know, acknowledging the... Because this is the thing. The actors on General Hospital are what makes General Hospital. So if we're going to acknowledge them in the opening montage, acknowledge them. Don't gloss over it. That's how I feel about that.
I mean, again, my favorite, and I know we've talked about this a long time ago, but my favorite opening was the kind of the orange-tinged one where we'd see the various, you know, the actors would kind of turn their heads a little bit looking at the camera. I adored
that
opening so much. It was so great.
I cannot with that, but okay.
But
people in the chat room are going, they're talking about my braids. And saying that I look pretty. Thank you.
Yep. Carly came to fight me today, folks.
Yeah, I was like, the hair wasn't happening, so it was a braid kind of day.
Look at that. I love it. I love it. I love it. So let's dive in to the latest storylines, and let's jump into the first one. that you brought up that kind of intrigued me was Oscar's storyline.
Yes.
So we see Oscar finally gets the results of the treatment that the trial that he's been in, mm-hmm. and it has not decreased the tumor's mass.
I was kind of, and I have to say, I got, somewhere along the line, I got invested in that storyline, so I was kind of hoping that they would come up with a resolution for him in his favor to have him live. But then once it came down that, I love that scene that they had with, what's the doctor's name?
Oh, yes. And I can't remember her name.
I can't remember her name.
But anyway, Elizabeth's friend.
Yes. Elizabeth's friend. When they had the meeting with her and she had to break down because he was like, okay, how much time do I have? And she's like, you know, I can't really say. And then she eventually rolled around and said it could be 7 to 8 months or it could be 6 to 7 weeks. And I was like, wow, that's a huge, broad range of time. Mm-hmm. But at least she gave him something. And at least Joss is kind of like, okay, well, I'm here for it. What are we going to do today? What do you want to do today? And I kind of love the way that they're attacking that, where they're not making him, because he felt sorry for himself for so long, that I love the fact that they're just making him embrace what's happening, the ultimate demise of his character. They're making him embrace that and just, you know, take it a day at a time. I hope they don't have him, like, go to sleep and not wake up or something crazy like that. You know.
Yeah, it's and I, as I spoke a long time ago, it's like I was hoping this was going to be very similar to the Robin and Stone storyline.
It's kind of looking like it's going to be like that, and there was this other scene where Carly was talking about the look on Joss's face when she talks about Oscar, that look that she has on her face that she shouldn't have at that age. Mm-hmm. Like, she should have that look of wonderment and excitement and bewilderment, and what she has on her face is someone who is worried. And she doesn't want to ever see her daughter have that look on her face at this young age in her life. I was like, oh, that broke my heart.
No, I agree. This, I think, will be a great storyline. You never want to see an actor...
Dr. Randall, that's her name. Terry.
Thank you. Terry Randall, yes. You never want to see an actor lose a job, but I think the course of the storyline leading to what it seems to be now would be Oscar's passing. I think it could be a really powerful story, not just for Oscar and Jocelyn, but for everybody they come into contact with and how they react and how their characters are affected through Oscar's strength and how he faces his young
guy. I'm looking forward to see how Alexis is going to respond to all of this, because Alexis seems to be the one person outside of his immediate realm of people that really seems invested in how his story is going to play out. You know, how this is going to affect him ultimately, to the point where she jumped up in Julian's face and was like, yo, you got to do better. Yeah. Like, what are you doing? You got to be there for Kim. You can't just like, and how lame was that? You just going to kick her to the curb talking about you slept with some miscellaneous person that don't exist. What the hell? Like, how are you just going to do that? I cannot even.
But it was one thing, because at the end of the week, we've got Drew wants to get in touch with Jason to talk to him in regards to Jocelyn. And his concern was that, I don't want Jocelyn to be wasting Oscar's time searching for a cure. And I just felt that that was a conversation that happened too late. I felt like Jocelyn already got past that phase.
Right.
So I don't know why we were talking about that.
That was kind of weird. They did have that conversation. Like, didn't we talk about this already?
Yeah, okay. Especially when it's cut to Jocelyn and Oscar talking to Cameron. Like, oh, we want to do this, this, and this, and this.
Right.
Not talking about searching for treatments, but just activities to do in their life.
Right. And then the scene with Jocelyn and Cameron, that was a nice little scene, you know, where she talked about how she was searching up all night looking for different clinics and surgeons that operate on inoperable tumors, and how she realized that at some point what she was doing was she was avoiding the inevitable. And she decided, why am I wasting this time when I could just spend time with Oscar?
Mm-hmm.
And then the young man who plays Cameron, the look on his little face, he genuinely looked devastated to find out that Oscar wasn't going to make it. And he looked so hurt, and he looked like, wow, so I got in all this trouble and my dude's not even going to make it? Like, that was the look on his face. He didn't say, he never said that. He never communicated that. But that was the look on his face. I kind of loved him for that.
Let's take a hot second to talk about Cameron, because okay. When he first came on the show, they aged him up.
I wasn't having him. I wasn't.
He was kind of irritating. He had like the whole thing when they.
He was annoying.
Yeah,
he was.
When Aiden and his first time talking about the pencils and stuff, it was. But how do you feel about Cameron's character now?
I have a lot of affection and respect for Cameron's character, because Cameron, they've turned Cameron's character into someone who is looking beyond himself to help other people. And the Cameron that showed up was someone that was very selfish, that was all about Cameron. And now he's shown that, you know, he would do anything for his friend because he was sick. He would do anything for Joss because that was his best friend. He would even do anything for his brother. Like, there's that moment where he's sitting on the sofa and he's trying to turn on the iPad, right? And there's that message from some clown that says, welcome Gaiden, or something about Gaiden, about Aiden, right? And instead of him, you know, blowing up and acting crazy or telling, because his mom and Franco were right there, he could have said something to them and acted out, but he didn't. He just spent that time with Aiden and just played with Aiden in that moment, you know, about the recipes and cooking and stuff. So they've turned him around to be a very respectable character. And I like the fact that they did that. I like the fact that they showed him to be a teenager who has learned from their lessons, as opposed to just falling back into what's familiar.
True. And there's something about me that will like a character that still gets in trouble, but they're doing something to help others.
Exactly.
It may be the wrong way to go about it.
Exactly.
But, it may be something wrong, but you have to appreciate the fact why they're doing what they're doing.
Exactly. What I did have a problem with, though, was that court scene where people just miscellaneous showed up and was testifying on his behalf, and the judge just kind of sat there and allowed that. I'm like, for real, though?
Yeah.
you just going to let miscellaneous people just walk in and start talking? Like, yeah, really? Everybody and they're not miscellaneous, really. I mean, Drew is Oscar's dad, and Elizabeth is Cameron's mom. But it was like she didn't even. The funny part was she was like, "Can I say something?" And she didn't even wait for a response. She just went through the little gate and started talking. I'm like, yeah. Diva, you gotta wait for the judge to say okay before you just go through the gate and start talking. That was funny to me. I'm like, oh, y'all got jokes on General Hospital today.
Now, I have not been in a situation where I've, you know, had a sibling being bullied in front of me, or, you know, even though I have a young daughter, that she has not encountered anything like that yet. Cameron, when he does see, as you're seeing, he sees on the tablet, somebody chimes in about, you know, yeah, hey, get, you know, drop dead, get lost, Gaiden, whatever it said. I love the fact that he wants to be protective of his brother, but I also, like, would you not want to bring it up to Elizabeth?
No.
You don't think so?
No, because she's dealing with enough. She's got the one kid who just went to court over some weed. She's got the other kid who she thought is getting over the whole situation with the whole bullying, you know, thing in school. And she's been dealing with... I love the fact that Willow has kind of been working in tandem with Elizabeth to try to counteract the whole situation. But that's a lot. You know, that's a lot. And she's trying to plan a wedding, you know, or trying to find a time to plan the wedding. That's a lot going on. Not to mention the fact that they got a serial killer running around Port Charles. So that's a lot. So I feel like, again, Cameron is being thoughtful by not bringing it up and just trying to deal with it, you know, the best way he knows how as a kid.
Yeah. You know? But I also feel like that's going to be one of those things that it will blow up when it does get to that point. And Cameron says, oh, well, it happened 3 months ago.
And then she'll be like, well, why didn't you tell me? Right, exactly. Yeah.
So we do find out, though, that the whole big thing, the camera is going to be on the possibly on the hook for attempting purchasing the marijuana. Mm-hmm. But now he just has a year of almost like sort of like a probation, as long as he doesn't get in any other trouble and he does community service.
Which I was actually surprised by that, to tell you the truth, because that judge was like, she was not taking any prisoners.
Yeah,
I was really surprised by that. Michael B. in the chat room says, sorry, in the black community, we kick a bully's ass if they mess with the Sims. That made me laugh out loud. And it's what? True.
You know, speaking of the bullying and the Sibs, the one thing I am, man, that does really grate on me is, speaking of Willow, and we've got Charlotte, and we've got Nina, how Nina reacts anytime that Charlotte is thought to be a troublemaker or she's doing something inappropriate.
It's annoying. Oof. It's annoying. Like, I want to punch her in her, I want to punch her in her throat. Because I'm like, okay, first of all, you can't keep coddling this child when she's doing wrong. You got to, at some point, you got to snatch her up and be like, this is wrong. You should not do this. And I think that Charlotte keeps doing it because Nina is the only person that's like, she's just being a strong girl. She just has a strong personality. No, she's being a bully. That is not okay.
Yeah. You can be a strong person without being mean to others.
Exactly. Like, that is not okay. And they need to break her little butt from that. That is not okay. And I think she's probably the one sending the little messages to Aiden. Oof. Now that she can't do it verbally, I think she's probably resorted to doing it digitally.
Oh, I hope not.
I bet you it's her.
Ugh. Man, speaking of messages, though.
What? Carol,
look at that.
What do you want to share?
You know, before we move on to our next topic, we just want to say thank you for making us AfterBuzz, the ESPN at TV Talk, and for us to continue to grow. We could use your help. If you're on YouTube right now, and if you're watching a stream live, then you're probably right there. Hit that thumbs up button and subscribe. And if you're on iTunes listening to this, maybe you're at the gym, maybe you're in your car, maybe you're doing the dishes at home. Just give us a 5-star rating.
Nah, not doing the dishes.
Why not? You wouldn't be doing the dishes? Baby. I always enjoy. I'll put on a podcast while I'm doing some dishes. Come on now. It's 2019, Carla. But no matter where you are, leave a comment so that we know that you got involved in the conversation. And for being part of AfterBuzz has meant so much to all of us. So we really appreciate you supporting us in doing what we love. So don't forget to tell your friends and keep enjoying our shows.
Hey now.
A little shout out to everybody.
All right.
Yes.
Okay, then.
All right, let's talk about the storyline that kind of, it didn't rub me the wrong way, but it was just kind of irritating me at the end of the week. And that was Lucy's book reading.
First of all, why does Lucy even have a book? That's the first thing.
Well, now you can buy this book. It is available for sale if you would like to buy this book.
I cannot with Lucy in a book. I cannot. Like, that whole situation was like, really? We just going to throw Lucy in a book into the mix amongst everything else? Okay. Is this supposed to be a distraction from what, I wonder?
I mean, it is one thing. Like, if you go traveling around the country and you're going to places that may have, like, haunted houses or stuff, there's, like, you can buy books about the history of the town, maybe some ghost stories, things like that. But would you want to go to a town and buy a book about this small upper New York town?
No.
And hear about just some of the baggage and misadventures
in the town, right?
Yeah, these people.
But you can go out and buy my book.
That's right.
Yeah. The Actor's Guide to Self-Marketing, How to Promote and Brand Your Unique Image at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com right now. Hey.
Boom. Right there. Look at that. I love it. I assume by watching the episode of this week where Lucy did her book reading, you learned what not to do when you do yours.
Oh, my God. I was just like, I cannot. It was just a nightmare. It was just, I'm like, ooh, can I change the channel right now and come back? I just was not having that.
You know, I mean, Lucy, she's delightful. I mean, and she can.
I love whenever Lynn Herring is on because she's delightful as Lucy. I mean, there's nobody else that could play that part but her. She's hilarious. But I'm just saying,
the reading of sections of that book where she just trashes the various people in the room, I'm like, Lucy, can you not just tell how people are reacting to what you're reading?
She has no temperature reading. She does not know how to feel the temperature of a room. Never has known how to feel the temperature of a room, which is why she gets in most of the trouble that she gets into.
Oof. It was just like, oh, man. I mean,
it was bad.
Yeah. I mean, most especially towards Felicia, because she kept on hammering home the Ryan Chamberlain stuff. I'm like, oh,
it's like,
baby.
Girl, really? I just cannot. Speaking of Ryan Chamberlain, how about the fact that Miss Lulu was the one that finally figured out, well, her and Jordan and Curtis figured out that link of the
driver's license.
Yeah, with the driver's licenses.
Yeah. Before we dive into Ryan for one second, one thing I want to ask about Lucy's book, finally.
And wrap it all up. You still want to talk about Lucy's book?
Yeah, because
I cannot with Lucy's book.
The way that she dives into all this, how did she get a lot of the specific information? Did she go around and interview various people here in Port Charles? Because, like, the way that she knew about, like, Valentin Cassadine and everything that went down with Nicholas, Ava's certainly not telling her that story, and she was the one that was in the room. Mm. And Laura is not a huge fan of that, and she's not going to want to talk to Lucy about the death of her son. And
but I can't imagine Lulu. A lot of that stuff is documented, though.
From where? Who's telling? Who's? Because it might be on what kind of government files or police records? Like, nobody's giving Lucy access to that stuff.
Well, you know, Mac was the police chief at one time. He may have, slipped up and told her some of that information at some point. I'm just throwing straws out there. I don't know.
It was just so omniscient about everything that has happened on the show and the history of these characters. I'm like, there's no way in real life any of these characters would have shared that level of detail.
Not with Lucy, because Lucy talks too much.
Yeah.
So.
And it's like, you're not going to, share some secrets or tales out of school knowing that she's writing a book. Like, no.
I don't think so.
All right. It's just my thing. I would go to Barnes & Noble and flip through that book. See what's up.
No.
All right. Carla's not going to.
It's a pass. It's a pass.
All right. So let's dive into Ryan Chamberlain.
Okay.
You're excited about it. Let's do it. We see, as you mentioned, we see Curtis and Jordan. They figure out, oh, yeah, Ryan was keeping people's driver's licenses, mm-hmm. and this new killer is also keeping them. Is there some connection?
Mm-hmm.
And Lulu kind of figures out that there's something. She doesn't know it's the driver's license, but she knows that there's some connection.
Right, she doesn't know what it is, but she knows there's some connection.
Do you side with Peter August in saying that they should not publish that information, or do you agree with Lulu that the public has a right to know that information?
I side with Peter. Because then you're letting Ryan know that you're on to him. So then he's going to find something else to throw people off. He's smart to a certain extent. But Lulu, first of all, I've never been, as you know, on this show, I have never been a big fan of Lulu being a journalist. Because she's just like stomping around like, I'm a journalist. And as someone who actually is a journalist, you're not running around talking about you're a journalist. You just report the facts and that's it. You don't run around going, I'm a journalist. Like, who does that? But so the fact that she's, it's my job to tell the facts. Like, no real journalist says that. They just report the story and they cite their sources if they have any, and that's it. But having said that, I feel like she just goes above and beyond. And the last time she went above and beyond, somebody got killed. Nathan got killed. Mm-hmm. So you would think she'd learn her lesson from the last time she was doing too much. But no. She just still pushing and stomping around. I'm a journalist. I'm like, girl, get your life.
There's that moment where she goes up and sees Maxie. When Jordan is talking to her as well about like wanting to call off the book event, and Lulu, the first thing she does, she just pulls out her phone with a big recorder on it. Yep. Do you have any comment about all this?
Like, who does that? Nobody does that. Or when Margo came to see her and she was like, "I'm going to record this," and Margo's like, "No, you're not."
Yeah.
Like, Miss Thing, really? First of all, you don't tell somebody, if you really want to get the story, you don't tell them you're going to record them. You just push the record button. Like what kind of journalist are you? Announcing everything. Like, what the hell?
It was with such flourish that she brought it out in front of it. Yeah, I'm like, okay.
I'm like, oh my God, I cannot with her.
But she does, after talking to Laura, kind of figure out that Laura says she saw the list of Kevin's office of 9 victims.
Mm.
And then Felicia is the 10th.
Mm.
And when Lulu looks into it, she sees that there's only 7 known victims of Ryan Chamberlain. Mm-hmm. And she's like, where are these other 2? Goes to and gets in touch with Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kevin pays her a visit at the end of the week.
Yeah, that was a little scary. I was like, ooh, he's always a little creepy. But what about that moment where he looked like he was going to try to take Laura out at the boxing ring?
Yes.
Remember that moment?
Yep.
I was like, and Laura was like, I love Laura, because Laura was standing there in all her glory. She's like, what are you doing? You're cutting off your circulation. Like, yes. He about to cut off your circulation in 2 seconds. If Scotty Baldwin had walked in that room, she wouldn't have had no circulation. And I was like, but that's what I mean about him getting sloppy. Like, why would you kill Laura?
Yes. That's
just sloppy.
Mm-hmm.
That's just sloppy serial killer. That's just a sloppy serial killer. Why are you going to take out the person who you have verbally let people know that you're not having her, you don't want to stay married to her, and then she's going to die, and you think people are not going to turn around and look to you as the killer? Boy, bye.
Yeah. We do see, well, we also see him trying to do something to help Ava, because Ava wants, he proposes leaving town. Let's move away. Let's leave the country.
And that was far-fetched, too.
Yeah, but Ava won't leave without Avery, and Sonny and Carly aren't going to give Avery up that easy.
So now Sonny and Carly are on the list. I love how he was like, okay, Carly? Oh, and Sonny's not going... Sonny? I was like, oh, you just going to take out the whole town until nobody's left but you and Ava. Boy, bye.
I was curious to see how Brian's plan was going to go into effect. He was going to go to the graveyard as they were talking to Morgan's tombstone and then take them out there.
I don't know what he was going to do, but that's what I'm saying. Sloppy serial killer, just sloppy. That's just sloppy.
And it's a bold scheme because, I mean, he's taking one person out at a time, but trying to do 2, especially Sonny
and Carly. Like, you think, first of all, do you really think Carly gonna let you take her out? And do you really think that's gonna happen without Sonny taking you out? Boy, bye. No.
Yeah, because no. I don't know if Sonny carries a gun, but he is a boxer. So I think if it's in a close, and Ryan does like to do things up close, so I don't think it would be that easy. He'd really have to get the drop, and doing 2 people at the same time would have been really challenging, I think.
They said, in the chat room, Aisha says, Ava was disposed about Nicholas's death and then recanted her statement to get her face restored. That's funny.
That's true.
And then some some wanton, I think, said Lulu is a good journalist, like the PCPD is good police. Well, there's that. And then Aisha says, again, just last week, Sunny discussed the security detail on Lulu's house, and she turned him down on his offer. Oh, yeah, that was a good point. And then Marlon says, if Ryan killed Sunny and Carly, that would have been epic. No, it wouldn't. It'd be stupid. And then Kelly says, Jason won't let that happen. And then Michael B. says, Ryan wouldn't stand a chance with them. That's what I'm saying. Like, really? You're going to go for, of everybody in Port Charles, you decide you're going to go for Sunny and Carly? Boy, bye.
No.
Mm-mm.
That wouldn't work. And I also don't believe that Sunny and Carly, as much as Sunny puts security on everybody else, I can't imagine that he doesn't have people close by. He's got to have a Max or a Milo or somebody that's at least...
That we don't see. Absolutely. That, yes. Because he is the godfather of Port Charles. He's just not walking around nilly-willy without some background somewhere, you know, hanging out, lurking in the shadows to have his back. Like, let's not forget that. He is the godfather of Port Charles. I'm just saying.
We do get to see Laura. She gets her inauguration. And
yes. So remember before the break, you were like, who would you like to see win? And I was like, I would want to see Laura win.
That's true. One thing before we do, further into that, while they're at the Floating Rib waiting for the election results to come in, and Matt calls Kevin over because he wants to talk to him more about the details.
Mm-hmm.
So we see John Lindstrom and John J. York. They're in the background as other people are talking to Laura. Right. And it's like, I could not buy that Ryan, posing as Kevin, would want to keep talking to Mac that long.
Right.
And because they kept on just hanging out in the background talking.
I saw that. And I was just like, this conversation, I felt that too. I was like, this conversation is going on way too long. Like, y'all need to break it up. Like, what is happening over there? And Mac was just giving him way too much information.
Yeah.
This is the thing that's starting to annoy me with that situation. Does anybody not peep the fact that that is not Kevin that they're talking to? I think Carly and Franco are like the only ones that are peeping it, because they were like, when Franco breaks into the office and Carly catches him, Franco's like, yeah, he just kicked me to the curb as a client, and he started acting weird and contradicting stuff. And Carly was like, yeah, he did that to me too.
Yeah.
But that was all the conversation that they had about it. I'm like, so y'all not going to investigate that further? You're not going to look in them files? You're not going to see that piece of paper that he has with all them people's names on it?
Yeah.
You're not going to look in that little wooden box where he got the driver's license? It's like, really? Y'all not going to look further? You're going to be that close and you're not going to be that nosy?
Yeah.
I can't.
Well, because I feel like the thing that's frustrating is film producer that Ryan ends up killing. He found out that there were no remains found for Ryan's body. So nobody else is able to find this information out.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, Lulu with her, and I'm a reporter, I'm a journalist, I'm a journalist, I'm a journalist. She don't know that?
Ugh.
Girl, bye.
So, getting back to Laura's inauguration, we do get to see Ned lose.
Mm.
And I feel like this time, there was never this much focus, even when Ned
ran the first time. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to have the big inauguration and all that stuff. I mean, I guess this is kind of like a storyline that we thought was going to happen a year ago before Gina Francis ended up leaving the show. So I guess it's nice to see kind of more of a big spectacle about it.
And then even Kevin showed up at that. I'm like, why? So I'm very confused about, like, is there a part of him that kind of likes Laura as Ryan? Because he's showing conflicting things. Like, one minute he wants to strangle her with a shoelace.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next minute he's endorsing her winning for mayor at the town meeting. And then he shows up at the inauguration to endorse her once again. I'm like, I'm very confused.
Yeah, I mean, certainly he was there to try to finalize their divorce so he could, you know, hook up with Ava and just flee the country. But
that's going to work. That is not going to happen.
I do like that Laura says, all right, I'm going to, you know, drop the ring and use my maiden name. Yeah, throw out that Weber.
Mm.
Like, she's, you know, Laura Weber, your new mayor of Port Charles.
Okay. Well, at least Spencer's shenanigans didn't stop her from winning.
Yeah. What do you think happens for Ned? We still have a scene with Michael where he says, well, you always know if things don't go well, you could always come back to
ELQ.
Yeah.
He'll probably go back to ELQ. And Olivia was like, yeah, I'm secretly hoping that you're not going to win anyway, because this was exhausting. Like, I love the fact that she was just real. She was like, yeah, you know, it was all good, but I don't want to do this no more.
But you feel like as soon as she said that, you knew, it was like, all right, they're going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, and I feel like this storyline is going to pay off better to find Kevin. because she has a focus on mental health, that mm-hmm. it makes sense for her to win the mayor.
And I love how every time she says that, that the camera switches to Ryan's face and he just has that twitchy kind of look on his face. Like he's just like he just wants to jump across the room and punch her in her throat. It makes me laugh every time she says that and the camera's on him and he's all making that face. It's so funny.
You know what I think I am tired of? And tell me how you feel about this little trope they do a lot on General Hospital. Anytime they have big events, whether it be the nurse's ball, this inauguration, mm-hmm. where they do the little, they freeze the video and make it look like a photo. I can't stand that.
I don't like that either. I know. It's kind of annoying. Oof. It's kind of a little annoying.
Yeah, it's like, no, nobody's posing for this photo.
Guys. How about, let's switch over to Liesl. Because I just love when Liesl comes to town because it's just funny. Because she's always lurking in the shadows with bad news for somebody. Yeah. Just always lurking in the shadows. And I'm pretty sure she's not going to be able to keep that secret about Valentine much longer.
No, I mean, it's, you know, well, all right. We have Liesl and we have Nina.
Yeah.
And everybody, when they find out that Nina wants to get back with Valentine, nobody's reacting positively. Nope. Liesl's not. Curtis isn't. Maxie's not. So if you were getting involved with some guy, again, that you've had a rocky relationship with, and all your and you were like, I'm doing this, and all your friends were like, would you check yourself and go like, all right, what am I doing?
Yeah, so I've been that chick and did it anyway.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so, I've been that person, so I kind of empathize with Nina on that one, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just can't help who you fall in love with. And, you know.
But yeah, like it's like you know this one's doomed for failure because you're right. Liesl's not gonna. It's gonna come out.
Oh, she's gonna tell. She's come this close to telling already. So mm-hmm. it's just she'll probably tell this week.
I mean, all it takes is Valentine to push one wrong button.
Oh, and it's a wrap.
Yeah,
it is a wrap. And I cannot wait to see what happens when Nina finds out. Like, is she gonna lash out at him? Is she gonna lash out at that? Is she gonna find that Sasha chick? And lash out at her, like, who is she going to take that out on? Because she's going to take it out on somebody. Somebody going to catch hell.
Well, I mean, there's still that speculation going around that Willow is truly her daughter.
Yeah, I don't know.
Which almost kind of makes it good for the fact that she and Willow do not get along at all. Then no, to find they out, don't. They're like, oh,
well, that actually would be a nice little plot twist. Yeah. I kind of like that idea, now that you bring that up. That would be nice. Yeah, they don't get along because Nina is a mean girl. That's why Charlotte's a mean girl.
We do see more of Willow hanging out with Chase, and we know the idea of, like, she does have these, like, I liked when they're over at Charlie's and they leave and there's Michael in the
right, window. I was about to say, Michael's lurking in the background like, but I love you too. Oh, I was man. Just like, oh my God, Michael, why are you such a wuss? If you like the girl, just tell her you like her.
Yeah.
Like, why are you letting Chase move in on your territory? Like, you know, speak up.
Yeah, because so far it really hasn't turned into a triangle yet. Mm-mm. So I'm waiting for to see Michael to kind of make some kind of like...
He needs to make a move. I'm like, why is he lurking in the background? Like him lurking in the shadows looking like a puppy dog is getting on my nerves. I'm like, I'm going to need you to step up to the plate, my brother, and get on with it. Be like, yo, do caveman style or something. I'm like, you need to do something.
As we're getting ready, we're getting close to the end. So before we get to news and gossip, I'm going to rapid fire some storylines. So hear what you think about them.
Okay.
What do you think about, we've got Sam, Jason, Shiloh.
Ugh, that Shiloh dude is bad news. I'm not feeling that at all. But it's going to be interesting, I think. Jason going to take him out.
I'm curious to see how much like Daisy is involved with this because we see like when she's going with she's going involved
with
Christina.
Yeah, she's involved with it wholeheartedly. Yeah, because...
I mean, she did the newspaper and stuff mm-hmm. at the home, but mm-hmm. to see if she's not really just like if she's an acolyte of Shiloh or somebody that's in more of a partnership with Shiloh. Mm. I don't know.
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah. So, and we have Oscar, but we've got Drew and Kim mm-hmm. and Julian. Do you care?
No.
Okay.
I don't.
There's a lot. I went a little down a Twitter rabbit hole about like there's this one Twitter by the General Hospital spoiler site where they have like inside news that like Billy Miller's like, you know, he's going to get out of the show. He's not happy. He's going to leave.
Yeah, they're not using him. They're not utilizing him very well.
And supposedly there's going to be a love triangle between Drew, Sam, and Jason, but that's been ixnayed.
Yeah, so that's old news too.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I don't see that happening.
Mike punching Sonny.
Ooh, that was hard to take. That was hard to take. But I don't know. I think Mike is getting to that point where he's not going to remember anybody soon. I think it's going to really devastates Sonny. As much as Sonny keeps saying, you know, it's hard for him to acknowledge that and everything, I think it's really going to take him for a loop. But I do like the fact that he went and he talked to Marcus about not taking Yvonne out of the home, mm-hmm. because that would be too devastating for both of them, and that they need to put their feelings in front of their own. I thought that was a cool moment for Sonny, but yeah, that was hard to take.
I feel like we were definitely closer to the end of that story.
Yeah, sad.
So folks, as we're getting ready to wrap up, I teased some news and gossip. We'll hit that real quick on our way out. Telling us right out of here. Okay. So of course, if you're thinking General Hospital, you cannot think of Luke Spencer.
Oh, of course not.
Yes.
Is he coming back?
Well, Anthony Geer, the portrayer of Luke Spencer and all his iterations there, retired from GH.
Yes.
And had left the show a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Did show up for a brief cameo when Jane Elliott left as Tracy Portman. But didn't even speak in that. Was just there just as a quick little smile.
Right.
With a sweet retirement hairdo of his.
Right.
but he just had an interview with Soaps and Death. Soaps in Depth. And he actually discussed the possibility of coming back to GH, and he admitted that he's loving life away from show business, but he's definitely not shutting down the idea of rejoining GH. He expressed the desire to give fans what they want, so Luke could show up again one day.
Oh, I would love that. That would be so much fun.
Yeah, so as he says, one of the things I've learned from being on this planet 70 years is to say, I don't do this or I don't do that. Just
never
limit your options.
Yeah.
I keep an open mind and try to keep an open mind about everything.
Yep, you never know.
Would you want to see Luke Spencer back on the show?
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. It would be like a shot of adrenaline to General Hospital. Because it's been kind of, you know, ebbing and flowing. So, yeah, it would be great to have him come back.
But I feel like if he comes back, I would want to see it for, like, I don't want him to do, like, another Jane Elliott cameo. I'd want to have him here for some considerable time to do something.
And, you know, it'd be nice to see him for, like, a month. You know, just long enough for him to, like, you know, get his whistle wet and then bounce.
and then bounce
like a rubber ball, you know.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode of the GH Report.
Yeah,
time has flown by while
it
we've
did.
Discussed.
We covered a lot, though.
As always, folks, thanks for joining us. Like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and thanks everybody for hopping in the chat. I know Carla's loved reading all your thoughts there.
I'm looking at everybody. Let me see if I can run through the names real quick. Dulamon, Marlon Wallace, Daisy Flower 40, Simone Francois, Michael B. Kelly Public Cover, Annie Goen, Rena Sheen, Someone Tan. I don't know if that's right, but I'm going to say it anyway. Jazz, 411-73, Aisha, War Hero, 99. I think I got everybody.
Oh, and for those of you that...
And those that missed, I didn't, sorry.
Yes, we love you nonetheless.
We do.
But Carla, if they want to find you after the show, talk all things General Hospital or your new book or whatever is going on, where can they find you?
You can find me across all social media platforms at The Curvy Critic. You can also find me right before the GH Report at Black Hollywood Live doing my film review show over there, The Curvy Critic with Carla Renata. And go to Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com to find my book, The Actor's Guide to Self-Marketing, How to Promote and Brand Your Unique Image.
Look at that. That is a must read, everybody. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. Folks, thanks so much for joining us here for this episode of the GH Report. I'm so excited. I stumbled over my words. But we'll be back next time with another new episode right here on AfterBuzz TV.
Peace.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.